Ramsey TV.
Why would you say I'm against Peruvians? Who says I'm against? Who says I'm against Peruvians? Just because Marie the pastor is from Peru? No, that has nothing to do with anything, because this is a universal problem. This entails all humanity, not just pastors from Peru. All humanity is afflicted with something, and it is the desire to be on top of, are you ready for this? To be on top of God. This is Martin Zender from the bottom of the edge of the Floridan Peninsula. And I'm going to be the next couple days, maybe three, doing some things on human free will, because the more I go, the more I see this. This is the ultimate sin baked into the human condition. It is the desire to be in control. It is the desire to not let go of control. And if you ask me, I know you didn't, but I guess you're tuned in, so you want to hear my opinion. It's not trusting God that He has your best interests in mind. And if He does have your best interests in mind, that He can't deliver on your best interests. And so, besides the fact there's this two-pronged problem here, the one is that you feel like you have to be in control. And the other thing is that if God were in control, in your mind, you can't trust Him because He's just too distant, He's too cold, He's too hard. It's just you don't trust Him because you've been told lies about Him, namely that He's this vindictive, angry deity. And this is totally wrong. But the beginning of human depravity, it's a shocking statement here, but I'm going to back it up in Romans chapter 1. The beginning of human depravity is to not acknowledge God as God. Everything goes to smash from there. If you don't acknowledge God as God, you're done. You're not even at square one. Acknowledging God as God is primary. It is foundational. Some people are saying, oh, Martin Zender's out there teaching some complicated doctrine that God's in control of everything and that there's no such thing as human free will. That's not complicated. That is the simplest truth there is. It's not complicated. A human embryo could understand it. Well, okay, maybe a two-year-old. It's so simple. God is in control of everything, but humans cannot accept it. All right, before I get into Romans 1, I told you I was going to get into specifics of Marie, the pastor from Peru. And no, I have nothing against Peruvians. I love Peruvians. Juliana is a Peruvian. Janet is a Peruvian. This is universal. It just so happens that I'm in contact with the Peruvians, and yes, they have a problem like everyone else. Of course, their base religion is Catholicism. There's no religion I can think of that is above or not touched by this poison of human free will. And not just in sects of Christianity. I'm talking Buddhism, Hinduism, Islam, and this whole thing of the soul doesn't die, like the soul is immortal, that's a fear of letting go. Nobody wants to die either, and it's a related deception. This desire not to die. We can't die. Why? Why can't you die? Why would it be that so bad? Wouldn't it be nice just to rest and forget? No, because we're not in control. If we're dead, we're not in control. And from what I understand, people who are afraid of death, it's this fear of being out of control. And you're falling into the great void, into the great blackness. But those of us who know God and trust God, we know that though I make my bed in Sheol, thou art there, the psalmist says. And Christ holds the keys of death and Hades in the book of the unveiling of Jesus Christ. We know that no one can enter the death state apart from Christ. It's unconsciousness. Fine. I mean, think of it this way. Every time, if you take a nap, every night you go to bed, you're giving your life over to God. You're unconscious. How does your heart keep beating? How do you keep breathing? You're not conscious. You're not making yourself do it. Come to think of it, even when you're not sleeping, you're not conscious of it. It's the idea that there's any realm of sovereign control that humans have is just illicit and it's evil. I'm going to tell you how evil it is. It sounds simple. Well, we believe in free will. Oh, really? You believe in free will? Yeah. But we believe in free will. They think it's just this nice dime store doctrine. You buy it, and it's just, of course, every life comes prepackaged with it. It's included in the little gift box you get when you're born. Here's your free will. It's evil. It's satanic. Now, when I was on the phone right here on this kitchen table with Marie from Peru, the phone was here. Where was I? I was over there. Janet was there, and Marie was in Lima, Peru. And I kept bringing up simple parts of the scripture, like Adam and Eve. And of course, we talked about the sin that Adam and Eve fell into, not believing God, eating of the one tree they told them not to eat of. And of course, Marie, the pastor in Peru, said, well, that proves. Now, she actually said this. That proves human free will. I said, well, not really. It just shows people exercising will. I said, I have proof that Adam and Eve did not act on their own accord, and the fact that they were compelled from without. She was speechless. So I moved in quickly with Romans 8:19. For the premonition of the creation is awaiting the unveiling of the sons of God. For to vanity was the creation subjected, not voluntarily. To vanity was the creation subjected, not voluntarily. Well, if it wasn't voluntary, then who brought it in? But because of him who subjects it in expectation that the creation itself also shall be freed from slavery. I told her, you can't be freed unless you're in slavery first. You can't be delivered from sin unless you're in sin. You can't be delivered from death unless you're in death. So the purpose of Adam and Eve was to get us all in sin and death. And of course, since she thinks that was a result of Adam and Eve's free will, and that's what she said on the speakerphone, it's a result of Adam and Eve's free will. Therefore, you have to look at the remedy, the antidote to sin and death, which is the death for sin of Christ and his resurrection. You have to look at that as God's plan B. That has to be God's plan B. Because God, see, according to Marie of Lima, Peru, and I hope she's watching this because, my dear, you got big problems. Your problems are huge, huge. Because, oh, I'm going to let you know why. But listen, I don't hate you. I don't hate anybody. That's not true. I do hate some people, but not you. Because you don't realize this yet. But I'm going to go into Romans chapter 1 on this show. And you're going to see how bad this is. It's not just a little gift box you're given when you're born. Everybody gets their human free will. It's nobody gets human free will. Just think of this. If everybody had human free will, then nobody would have it. A free will has to be free to exercise its will, but if there is even one other will opposing it, then it's not certain that that will activate its own will, is it? No. There's only room for one free will in the universe, and that free will is God's. And he never gave it away to anybody. He didn't copy and paste it. He didn't cut and paste it. He kept it all to himself, and he's the only one in the universe that has it. So, Pastor Marie, this is what she did. She said, well, what you're talking about there, Mr. Zender, you're just mixing up the word. You're not reading this right. You're inventing this as you go. What happened was is that God subjected the creation to vanity after Adam and Eve sinned. Okay, so you're telling me Adam and Eve chose vanity and then God subjected them to vanity. They freely chose, and then God did it. I said, Pastor Marie, you have the cart before the horse. And she did the same thing with Pharaoh. You know she did the same thing with Pharaoh. Everybody does that with Pharaoh. I pointed her to Romans chapter 9, which was right, very convenient, because right next to Romans chapter 8. And I said, look at this. God hardened Pharaoh's heart, that his fame might be published. God needed a hardened Pharaoh, and therefore I harden whom I will harden. Well, Pharaoh was already wicked. She cannot see that Pharaoh's heart was hard because God hardened it, and Adam and Eve were subjected to vanity because God subjected them to vanity. She cannot see God's action. And this is associated with another problem she had, that she couldn't believe God created evil. That's what it comes all down to. It comes down to the initial force of everything, the initial force, the primary driving force of everything, including your will, including the creation, including the sun shining today, is God. Everything coheres because of God. Colossians 1, all has its cohesion in Christ, who is in God. Everything coheres because of God. There's nothing that happens apart from him. John says that in the beginning was the Word. Not one thing came into being apart from the Word. Apart from Christ, he brought everything into being. And Paul says, in him we live and move and are. And he gives to all life and breath and all. Acts chapter 17, verses 24 and 28. Could be verse 25 and 28. Read all of Acts chapter 17. You'll find it. Find both of those verses. God gives to all life and breath and all. I gave that verse to her. Not impressed. And in him we live and move and are, or as the King James says, have our being. She was not impressed. She kept turning it around because her default setting is free will, free will. God gave us a free will. Well, here's a verse that says God subjected creation to humanity, swatted it away like a fly, swatted it away like an unwanted gnat. Can't hear it, can't hear it, I can't hear it. God hardened Pharaoh's heart. It says it right there, Marie. Read it in your own Bible. Read it. Swatted away. I can't hear that. I told her God created evil. Isaiah 45, verse 7. You know what she said? Well, first she said, I didn't give her Isaiah 45, 7 first because she doesn't know that verse exists. So I kind of tried to trap her. I wanted to impress Janet. And Juliana was sitting over here on the couch, so I kind of laid a trap for Marie. I said, do you believe God created evil? No, I don't believe God created evil. God would never create evil. Because in her mind, God doesn't do anything bad. He doesn't make anybody do anything unseemly or discolored. No, God would never do that. He's pure and holy. And he can't help it that humanity sinned. He can't help it that Satan does bad things. God just crosses his big, fat, hairy fingers and hopes everything works out. So I said, well, I said, you read the King James Version, right, Marie, from Peru? Yes, okay, well, I'm going to read from Isaiah 45, verse 7, and here it is. It's God speaking, I create good, I create evil, I, the Lord, do all these things. I do good, I create evil. It's just right there. It says it in black and white. I form the light, I create the darkness. I should quote it directly for you, but read it yourself. There's no mistaking it. You know what she said? Well, I'm going to read the Spanish version of that because that's the English version. I don't like that. All right, well, what does the Spanish version say? It says God created disaster. It's either disaster or God created calamity. I said, well, what's the difference? God doesn't do evil. He wouldn't do evil, but he does create an earthquake that kills 80,000 people. She cannot go there. Here's the problem. And I'm going to go there. I have time. Don't worry. I said I was going to do this. I'm going to go to Romans 1. I had promised you to give you specifics of the drama that day when Pastor Maria from Lima, Peru was on the speakerphone. And I have. So now I'm going to go behind it. And it's not just her. I have nothing against. Well, yes, I do. I have a lot against her because she screwed up my friend. She completely screwed up my friend, Janet, and it really ticks me off because Janet is like the lamb who looks for a shepherd, wants to know the truth, and for some reason, and I think I know the reason, I'll tell you what I think it is, but she got hooked up with this Marie who doesn't know anything. Marie, you don't know anything about God. I hate to say this, but you haven't even arrived at first base. I'm not making fun of you. It sounds like it, but it's a rare thing. And there's only reason I know these basics is because God introduced me to these things and he gave me these things. He hasn't given them to you yet. But something needs to shock you out of your humanity, out of your pride. The worst sin in the world is self-righteousness. And Pastor Marie, everybody you teach self-righteousness to is going down. Everybody you feed the poison of free will to. Everyone you tell that their salvation depends on their decision, on what they do, on how they behave. And my friend Janet sat here and she says, I'm not even sure I'm going to heaven because I don't know if I'm good enough. I pray every day that I do the right things because I don't know if I'm good enough. I took her to 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 9 that says that this salvation is not based on our acts. The salvation of the grace of God is not in accord with our behavior. And even if it was, and if we sinned a million times, Jesus Christ came to take away the sins of the world. You don't believe that. You told me you believed it on the phone. Yes, I believe that God is in everything. I believe that Jesus Christ saved the world. Then why isn't the world saved, Marie? Why isn't the world saved? My friend Janet now thinks that most of the world is going to end in turmoil and sin and death and evil and some cauldron of flame and fire and screaming people, which may include your mother, your father, your sister, your brother, your kids. And it's going to be that way forever in opposition to God. I told her that God has reconciled the entire world to himself through Christ, and that in the fullness of times, he is going to give faith to all, because God will become all in all. Because as in Adam all are dying, thus also in Christ shall all be vivified. Her eyes lit up. She never read that, never heard of it. I told her about the true God who's in control in the universe. I told her about the God who uses evil to bring good, to give us an awareness of good. And he uses death to give us an awareness of life. He uses sin to give us an awareness of salvation. And without these ugly things, we wouldn't have the good things. And then I told her about a God who abolishes death. Death is the last enemy, and that every enemy before it will be abolished, and that God will become all in all, and that the universe ends up perfect, in perfect harmony with God's will and intention. Do you know what I told her? I told Janet something you didn't tell her. I told Janet that God's will is stronger than the human will. How did that topic come up? Because I quoted her 1 Timothy 2:6. And I noticed when I was on the phone with you, I don't know why I'm addressing you as if you're watching this show, but I just, when I was on the phone with you, I kept going to the scriptures and you kept taking me away from the scriptures. I kept wanting you to answer. No, go to Isaiah 45:7, answer me. Go to Romans 8:19-20, answer me that. God subjected the creation to a vanity, not willingly, but you kept going off the scriptures. Why did you do that? I quoted 1 Timothy 2:6 to Janet, and I told her that God wills for all humanity to be saved and to come to a realization of the truth. And I said, Janet, do you believe that? She goes, yes, of course. It says that in the scripture, God wills all humanity to come to a knowledge of the truth. I said, okay, but according to what your pastor in Peru is telling you, if a human wills otherwise, let's say there's a guy who doesn't want to come to a realization of the truth. Let's say there's a guy who doesn't want to be saved. Suddenly we have a battle of the wills, don't we? We have the will of God, plainly stated, 1 Timothy 2:6, God wills for all humanity to be saved, to come to a realization of the truth. This guy wills not to be saved, not to come to a realization of the truth. Battle of the wills. Well, obviously God wins, right? God's got to have a stronger will. Nope, they're not even equal. The human will is stronger because, according to you, God's a gentleman. Yeah, according to you, God is a gentleman. Well, I'm going to deal with that statement alone. I'm going to deal with that in the next show. So if you're watching this show, God help you. And I really mean it. I want God to help you. Because if you see the truth, if you look these verses in the eye, and if you can bow down to the sovereignty of God, and I know only God can do this, and I'm praying that God will put a dose of the Spirit in you that will cause you to see that you are an ant. You're nothing. You couldn't save yourself. You couldn't believe in God if you had a million years. God leaves you alone to decide? You couldn't do that in a million years. And I'm going to tell you why tomorrow. Tune in tomorrow. Tune in Tuesday. You love the traditions of humans, not the truth of God. And according to your traditions, the human will is stronger than God's will. Does that sound right to you? That the human will is stronger than God's will? The human gets what he wants, but God doesn't get what he wants? Does something sound fishy about that? Does something sound fishy that you have to deny a plain statement of scripture that God created evil? You have to explain it away? Because you can't understand that evil eventuates in good and that eventually evil is abolished? Your default setting is you think evil is eternal. See, but that's imported. You got that from somebody else. The scripture doesn't say evil is eternal. Again, 1 Corinthians 15:26, death is the last enemy, and death is abolished. So if it's the last enemy, then all other enemies would have gone before it. Yes, if death is the last one, so evil would have been abolished. God is going to abolish evil. He only uses it to show us the good. Do you think evil goes on forever? But because you think it does, you can't acknowledge that God created it. You have a problem. You have a problem because the plain scripture verse is screaming out at you. Isaiah 45:7, I create evil, says God. You can't believe it because you think evil is eternal. Well, we can't. I can't believe that because otherwise God would be responsible for evil. And we know that millions and millions of people are going to hell for eternity, and that's pretty evil. So we can't make God responsible for that. So I can't believe that verse. Do you think there's a problem with that, that you can't believe Isaiah 45:7? Do you think there's a problem with you can't believe Romans 8:20? Or how about Romans 11:32? The God locks up altogether in stubbornness. According to you, people lock themselves up in stubbornness. But God locks up altogether in stubbornness that he would have can have mercy on all. That's Romans 11:32, the whole thing. I used to believe like you. So listen, I used to believe everything you believe. I used to believe in free will. I used to believe in eternal torment. I used to believe in the immortality of the soul because I had the same problem you had. And I'm going to get into it tomorrow. And I hope you watch. I hope you just throw yourself at this. You're not throwing yourself at me. You're throwing yourself at the Word of God. And it will break you, but in a good way. Because you're not going anywhere with your self-righteousness, honey. You're not going anywhere. Self-righteousness, you know what Janet told me? She gave me a list of the people that she says going to hell. Where does she get that list? And she couldn't hear herself, but she was on such a perch, telling me who's going to hell. Well, we know that homosexuals are going to hell. People who commit the unpardonable sin and blaspheme the Holy Spirit, they're going to hell. There was Janet on high. Sorry, Janet, if you're watching, I love you. But hey, well, these people are going to hell. These people are going to hell. Do you know what? I didn't get time to ask her because she was going to leave the next day, but I'm going to call her tomorrow. Yeah, I'm making inroads. There's a war on for Janet's soul. I'm the powers of light. You're the powers of darkness. I'm going to win, okay? I told Janet that we're going to look at the source of everything, okay? And we're going to put away the human traditions, and we're going to put away the things that she was taught, unless they align with Scripture, and we are going to go to the Word of God. And I'll finish this way concerning who's going to hell. Who's going to hell? I'm going to ask her this when I talk to her tomorrow. I'm going to say, what about self-righteous people? Do they go to hell? Because Jesus said that the prostitutes would get into the kingdom before the priests. How in the world could that be, Marie? How in the world could prostitutes get into the kingdom before priests? Because prostitutes know who they are. Prostitutes are empty. Prostitutes know that they have nothing to offer God. They're empty-handed and they're stripped. And there's no one righteous, no, not one. The sinners know that. The Pharisees don't, because they're self-righteous. So Marie, unless you repent of your self-righteousness, that somehow you're saved because you chose Jesus Christ, and everybody else is going to hell because they didn't choose Jesus Christ, that's self-righteousness. It's a good thing there's not an eternal hell, because you would be the first in. You'd be the first in line, because you're committing the worst sin there is. That is, you have the audacity to think that you can stand before God and claim that you're there because you made a wise decision that these other stupid people didn't make. And you're going to actually have the audacity to stand before God. You don't have the first clue of the majesty of God or your helplessness. I'm going to give you, please watch tomorrow, or anybody else that's watching who doesn't realize their helplessness, doesn't realize how unable they are to do anything. It's all God from start to finish. And if it's all God from start to finish for me and for you, then what about all these other people? Good question. Yeah. What about all these other people?